Good morning. How's everyone doing today? I hope well. Well, here we are, moving into chapter 10. And actually, we'll get most of it done today, I believe. And I always kind of thought that chapter 10 through 14 was actually the whole pause. But I've actually learned it's not. And so, basically, the upcoming few chapters, 10 through 11, 15 is the pause. And then you have in the second half of chapter 11, you have the seventh trumpet, or the third woe. And then chapters 12, 13, and 14 actually is like it's not like included in the pause, even though there's some charts I showed you that kind of looks like it includes it, but it doesn't. Let's start with a word of prayer and I'll explain further. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look into your word and to help me to better understand what exactly you're trying to show us that we can apply to our lives today and to be looking forward and to help understand as we see the day approaching what the signs. We are in the season. I'll praise you and give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, back to our painting. We're in that white spot there, in the middle there, where you see the angel with the measuring rod, two witnesses, and I'm not sure who the other figure is supposed to be. But in our painting, that's basically where we're at right now. And as I was saying, is it's a pause between so chapter 10, we're going to look at basically a John and the angel and John talking about this book, and it's actually at this point in time that John is actually going to leave heaven and come back down to earth, as I have learned also to meet with this angel who's standing on the banks between the sea and the land. And what we're probably seeing for symbology. So I'll bring over my little chart here. Again, we're in this blue area right here in between trumpet 6 and 7. And it's basically about this mighty angel with the little book, and we're also going to be talking about we more when we get into chapter 11, the two witnesses. That won't be today. So let's jump into the text. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face, as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. I thought I'd show a few things to try to explain some of the symbology we're seeing here. And the funny thing is it seems like it's almost the same thing we hear depicted about Jesus himself. And we know Jesus is not an angel, but I'm thinking that it's basically to try to show that Jesus has given this authority to this angel. And so that this helps John to realize that this angel has the authority of Jesus. So in Revelation 5:2, there's some prior strong angels. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Another in Psalms 103 point verse 20. Blessed the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the word. So get some other references to other angels. And on the cloud, we got Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Over in Exodus 16:10. You notice these are all about Jesus. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the church of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. Leviticus 16:2. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die, not for I will appear in a cloud upon the mercy seat. Also in Luke 21:27, And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. So you can see that this sounds a lot like all these different symbols is talking about Jesus. On the rainbow, we got Ezekiel 1:26, And above the firmament there was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud, this is going into the rainbow, in the day of rain, so was the appearance of this brightness around about him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that speaks. Moving into chapter 2, verse 1 of Ezekiel. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Almost feels like he was possessed by this, I don't think it was Christ. In this particular case, this is the Holy Spirit, I believe. Kind of this passage in Ezekiel. Also in Daniel 10:6, talks about his face in the sun. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as the lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Again, these are all references to different aspects of Jesus and God. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice is sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp twig sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. I did that verse mainly for the sun part. So you can kind of see that this particular angel seems to be, looks a lot like Jesus, in a lot of the passages we see that John's describing. So I'm kind of seeing that symbolically as being that this angel has the full authority of Jesus to conduct this particular thing they're going to do here coming up. So on to verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. I want you to realize at this point, John is still basically in the spirit in heaven. And you'll notice that this particular angel has his foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. So he's basically standing, it seems like, between the Mediterranean Sea and the earth. No clue how big he is. He could be very large. It says, say, powerful man. And there's other places in the Bible where they mention powerful and mighty men, and that seems to be associated with giants. So this particular angel might be quite an impending person, a very large person. Over to verse 3. And cry with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. This is a very strange verse. A few other verses that go along with it is Isaiah 42:13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Kind of like this verse kind of reflects exactly what we're reading in Revelation. Also in Jeremiah 25:30, therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from a high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. So basically from heaven. And he shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. So Jeremiah here is predicting a time when God is going to basically had enough, and that his patience is completely run out. Over in Joel 3:16 also. And the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of the people and the strength of the children of Israel. God never ever forgets about his chosen people of Israel. Revelation 10:4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now you got to say to yourself, why did John include this passage? Now it's got our curiosity factor at peak. As to same thing happened in Daniel, if you remember. I'll get to that verse in a minute here, but it. Oh, no, I'm going to do it right now. Daniel 8:26. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up this vision, for it shall be for many days. Another time. Notice over in 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up these words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, I think it's leaning a little bit towards this verse, because I think the closer we get to the end, the more we're going to see, and I think maybe that's what they're talking about here in Revelation, is it to John, he heard something, probably didn't make any sense to him, and probably would have not, when he wrote it down, would not have made any sense. But it'll probably be something that will become apparent to us going forward once the people see it. Or the other thing I was thinking is that whatever he said, because the other thing I see God doing, and I've heard many commentators say the same thing, is that God only gives out enough information to help us, but the other person he's trying not to help at all is Satan. And Satan would love to know when exactly this is going to start, because he's got to be prepared to perform, to have this freedom he's going to have during this 7 years through every single generation, because he doesn't know the day or the hour. So I think there's some things maybe that God did not record on purpose so that it wouldn't give Satan a heads up. But when we get closer to that time, and you'll see that the other verses I think I've already mentioned, that the angel will be flying through the heavens and announce something about taking the mark of the beast, which we're going to get into here in chapter 13. So that might be also what John was told not to write down, because he doesn't want anyone to be able to know this particular piece of information. But also it lets us know that there was things that are going to happen that we don't necessarily know about yet, but we will know when they happen. And that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Also over in Daniel 12:9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the end of time. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So this is another indication that I think that because we follow Christ and we're children of his, we're part of the body of Christ, that there's things that we definitely understand that I think everybody's run into this, where you're trying to explain something to an unbeliever, and it's like they're just not understanding it when it seems so plain to us. And it's an amazing thing to watch because it seems so easy to understand to us, but not to other people. And I've seen this enough times to realize that that's the Holy Spirit, because we have Him to help us understand things where they don't. So sometimes, you know, I'm starting to get better at it, not to try to argue with people about things, because they just probably not at that level. Either they're an unbeliever, or that they're not at the level yet that the Holy Spirit is bringing them to before they understand something. So unless somebody asks a question directly and wants a response, I try not to get heavily involved with debating certain aspects, unless they're totally against doctrine. I wasn't so good at that in the past. I'd find I'd like to debate people on Facebook and YouTube and stuff, and realize that I'm not being very Christian sometimes when I'm doing it. So that's my area that I need to improve on, especially doing this study in Revelation. There's a lot of stuff that, boy, I tell you, it's hard to really get a handle on exactly what John was seeing. So here we are in chapter in Revelation 10:5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things which therein, that there should be time no longer. Now this verse here, when I was started to research on it, I found out that basically this is a period of time that God was talking about, and I'm going to show it here in verse in coming up here in a minute. But that this is basically the period of time that God has been predicting will come, and He said that, but to be patient, because when He's ready, it will happen. It will happen at that time only. So we're coming to that period of time where God is finally going to put an end to being patient any longer. And woe to them, this is the third woe, and woe to them, coming up in 11:15 is the third woe, and that's when things really start to happen. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. So that basically this is going to be what he's been predicting. He's been telling the prophets, he's been telling people all down through history that this day is coming. And that luckily God has been patient and given us plenty of time to get with the program. So I thought I'd run through Daniel 12, only because it kind of reflects what's going to be coming up here. So I'm going to run through Daniel 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of the people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time the people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. This is basically an overview that Daniel was getting about this particular period of time. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame, everlasting contempt. Basically talking about the rapture. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to the righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, Daniel, shut up these words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I already mentioned that verse. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the that side of the bank of the river. Kind of sounds like what we're dealing with now with this angel, a little bit. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, a times, and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. That time, times, and a half is 3.5 years. I think I've mentioned that before. Basically, a time is basically a year. Times is multiple years, or two of them. So time plus time is 2 years, is 3 years. And then half of a time, which would be 3.5 years. So we're basically at the halfway point, is what we're basically dealing with here. And when he shall accomplish to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the end of the time. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. That's what I was just commenting about, is that we as Holy Spirit-filled individuals have an understanding that that those around us that are unbelievers don't understand. So it's probably more important now that we spend our time trying to reach the unbeliever rather than debate some of the finer points that they can learn later on. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that make desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Again, this is the midway point, 3.5 year mark. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. That's talking about from the midpoint to the end. And whoever survives that will be doing well. This is mainly directed to of course, the church is gone. So this is mostly to the tribulation saints and for the Jews. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in the lot at the end of days. So that's basically the overview, what I take the point of what Daniel didn't understand, and this is like 500 BC, so we're talking 2,500 years ago, and that we're starting to see and of course, this is going to be happening in the tribulation, so it hasn't happened yet. But it gives us a little clue that supports what we're reading in the Revelation. So back to Revelation 10, verse 8. The voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open, and the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said upon me, take it. And he eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I finally understand this verse. I never understood it until I finally figured it out. Although actually the Holy Spirit helped me figure it out. It was through a commentary I read that made it more make sense. But basically this is a period of time. Well, first off, now John has actually moved back down onto earth, and he's with the angel there with one foot in the sea and one foot in the land. And basically that particular says that where it says, and I went. In the Greek, it actually means I went away. It means that he went from where he was to where that angel was, so he went away. And verse 10, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, and my belly was bitter. So here's what the explanation is with this particular verse, is that the book is judgment, and it's symbolic of the Bible itself, because the Bible is sweet when it comes to give us knowledge on how to live. It helps us to understand God. There's a lot of great things about it, but the thing is that at some point, as we can tell, when God's wrath finally gets peaked, that He has to has to commit judgment on the people he wants to save, and it's bitter to him. And that's where the bitterness comes from. I never understood that till I read. So I finally read one commentary that made it more. Now I finally understand it. So some other verses to help support this is in Psalm 48. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my heart. So that it's good to know that the Lord he doesn't he he's always. It's where that term "vengeance is mine," saith the Lord. We know that sooner or later that that he's not going to be patient forever, and he's finally going to commit judgment on this planet. And that I think a lot of us are wondering now why is it? It seems like it's overdue, but I think for a lot of our sakes, anyone who maybe was backslidden or was late in coming to the Lord, that we're sure glad he waited. So try to be understanding that there's still some out there that that need to be given the same opportunity. Also, over in Psalm 19:10, basically about more to be desired are they than gold, yea, that much finer gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So again, the word of God can be sweet, but it can also be bitter. Also in Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So these are, how sweet are the words. This is the word of God. But over in John 16:1 comes the other side. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. So, and as you said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So I guess that that's what I got for today. But basically, I just want to state that going forward, it's going the rest of this, as the angel's talking to John, is that even though he's going to start now defending, what I want to mention is that remember the part in, I thought I put the verse in here. I skip it. It's Revelation 6:11. Should have been right after Daniel. I forgot to put it in. Let me put it in there real quick because it's an important verse to understand. Revelation 6:11. And this is, if you remember, this is the time that we were talking about being sweet. That's finally going to happen, but it's bitter that God doesn't like the fact that he's going to have to do this. If you remember from Revelation 6:11, this is the saints that were martyred during the tribulation, and there, remember they were told to wait a bit longer, or during this these trumpet judgments. Some of those other saints have now joined in and are now been martyred. And so that's what this basically, that's what this chapter here is talking about, is that now it's time for God to fulfill this request. And the request was, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were, shall be fulfilled. And so this is what this is the point in time that John is being shown here in Revelation 10, is that God has said now going forward. So once we move into the seventh seal, which will be the seven bowl judgments, God is going to basically turn up the heat on those on the earth that have basically sided with the Satan and decided to follow Satan, and it's the end of the end. And we're going to take a look at that, but it's a sad day as John has realized that that even though the that it was sweet to realize that vengeance is finally being done, that it's bitter also, that it needed to be done in the first place. So on that note, I'll end with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much that you are a God of patience and that you've given us so much opportunity to look to you for guidance, and that oh, we are so sinful, and that I praise you and I thank you so much for bringing me back to an understanding of just how sinful we are. And it's a constant battle every day, Lord, that I got to fight those fleshly desires. So help me, Lord, continue to help us to be a light in the darkness, and that we can shine our light from you through us to those around us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. And so I hope that everybody has a great day, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.